The title of the sermon is The Surprising Gospel of Pride. This story that was read to you earlier from the third chapter of the book of Acts is one of my favorite stories in Scripture. And I've got a lot of them, but it's one of my favorites. I'm not sure I've ever really used it as the text for a sermon, maybe one time many, many years ago. But the first thing that strikes me about this particular passage is the chronology of this story, where it is placed in Scripture. It is the third chapter of Acts. Now, you may recall that the story in the second chapter of Acts is the story of Pentecost. The disciples and other followers had been tarrying in the upper room for the day of Pentecost. They had sequestered themselves away. And then the day of Pentecost came, and they were endued with power from on high. And I kind of believe that this is probably the first time that Peter and John had been to the temple for prayer since the day of Pentecost. And as they were moving into the temple, there was a lame man laying at the beautiful gate. Now, I am quite sure that they had passed this person and many others like him scores, maybe even hundreds of times through the years as they had made their way to the temple for the hour of prayer. But this day, it was to be a little bit different. They had been endued with this power of the Holy Spirit, the power and anointing that came upon them at Pentecost. Now, many of you that have been around here for a while and know me know that I am quite not ashamed of my Pentecostal credentials. I was raised in a Pentecostal home and attended a Pentecostal church and graduated from Bethany University and Assemblies of God College, was ordained as an Assemblies of God minister for several years, and I embrace my Pentecostal heritage. A lot of times, Pentecostal people get all wrapped up in the demonstrations of the Holy Spirit, the speaking in tongues and the miracles and the manifestations that you can see and feel from the Holy Spirit. But in this time in my life, the basic message that I take away from Pentecost is that when you have really been baptized and anointed with the Holy Spirit, it will cause you to do things in a new way. You say things that you have never thought of saying before. You speak in a way that you have never spoken before. You are called to do new things that you have never done. And so as Peter and John were making their way to the temple to pray, this man looked at them expecting to receive something. Maybe in years past, they had given him money on previous occasions. But today, Peter responds, "I don't have any silver and gold," and you know that very likely could have been true because the early church members had a reputation of having emptied and given everything that they had to the furtherance of the gospel. Peter says, "I don't have any silver and gold, but I'm going to give you what I do have." And with that, Peter said to this man, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he reached out and he took him by the hand, lifted him up, and immediately, the story says, the man was healed. Peter was able to speak wholeness into the days of this man's living. In this new dispensation of the gospel, Peter was empowered to not only speak out, but to reach out and lift somebody up. And this man was transformed. The story says that he went with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Now, this is our annual Pride Sunday worship. And it's kind of always been a curious thing to celebrate pride, especially here in the context of worship and spirituality. After all, isn't pride one of the seven deadly sins? It's right up there with envy and wrath and laziness and greed. Isn't pride by definition a lifting up of a certain self-centeredness, a narcissistic making everything all about us, an inward-looking mindset that believes we are the center of the universe? Wouldn't this, as gospel, almost at times seem like a sacrilege? Well, let me tell you a little of my personal story of pride, the surprising gospel of pride. I've told this story publicly before, and I apologize to Dave. You've heard it so many times. It's kind of gotten to be the annual telling of my story. But I'm going to just give you a brief few things this morning. I told you earlier I was raised in a Pentecostal home, went to a Pentecostal college, was in the ministry for a number of years. But all of those years, I was still trying to reconcile my sexuality and my spirituality. And it was a struggle. One day, I discovered on the corner here at 24th and Broadway a place that was different. And I walked into this church, and my life began to be transformed. The spirit of pride began to take heart in my spirit and in my life. And one of the things that I did was I formed a group called the Joyful Sound. And for 5 years, it was at least four, and I think it was five, as I recall, we were the lead-off group on Sunday morning down on the main stage at the waterfront. And every single year, I remember, and the first year was really transformative. We got up there. It was Dennis Carter and Mark Brown and myself. We got up there, and there were all the people on the corner with their signs screaming, "God hates the F people," and "You're an abomination," angry, waving their signs, demonstrating. And we get up on stage on Pride Sunday at the waterfront, and the mics are turned on, and we start singing about the love of God and praising and worshiping God. By the time we reached the chorus of the second song, we looked out and they'd completely vanished. They had disappeared. They didn't know what to do with us. And then after that, we joined the church float and we began to sing the songs, Walk This Road to Glory and so on, going down the streets of Portland on the back of this church float, singing about God as a gay man and a gay Christian. The freedom that that brought into my life, the transformative experience that was for me, helped me rediscover and establish who my authentic self is. And I begin to feel like I was triumphing again. So here's my point today. When the spirit of pride has been fully appropriated in our lives, you will find yourself like this man, not just taking a few first feeble steps. Oh no, not at all. Just like this man whose ankle bones receive strength, you will be walking and leaping and praising God. You now live victoriously. The chains have fallen away. Your burdens have been laid down. The bondage that has interfered with your progress, for some of us, from our mother's womb. Pardon me. This bondage has been rendered ineffective. You no longer sit alongside the road of life. You have miraculously broken free. You have stepped out of the darkness and into the marvelous light. The change is so dramatic that it takes those who have known you a little while to recognize what has happened. Took my own mother and my family probably 20 years to get it. It's a huge surprise to them. In the King James Version, Peter is reported to have asked the people there that day, "Why do you marvel at this miracle?" And I want you to notice this as well. There are two aspects to this gospel of pride. There is the recipient, but there is also the initiator. We would say that we received, Jesus gave. When Peter saw this man in such need, what was he compelled to do? Peter was compelled to speak out. He spoke a rise up into this man's life. He spoke wholeness into this man's living. Then Peter reached out and took the man by the hand. Then he helped out by lifting him up. The surprise of this transforming gospel, the gospel of pride, is that it is not an inward, self-centered look, but the direction is out. The energy and the flow are outward bound. Peter spoke out. But you know, a lot of times we do a lot of talking, don't we? We do a lot of speaking. But for things to really be effective, we have to follow it up with a reaching out. And I encourage you to find ways to reach out. And then we have to help out. I encourage you to find ways to lift someone up and help them out. So there are some answers here for some questions that I have for us today. Why do we give? Why do we bring boxes and bags of groceries every first Sunday of the month to distribute to those in need? Why do we give money to support the many ministries of our congregation? Why do we support the work of justice here at home and around the world? Why do we support the work of the UFMCC around the globe? Our goal this year is to raise $10,000 to support the work of UFMCC. Why are we called to do something like this? Why do we plan community events like the Awaken, Let Justice Roll event later this summer? Why do we have this urgency to work for the Lord so intensely? Why do we reach out and make the effort to lift up the hurting, the addicted, the broken, the depressed, the weak, and the afflicted? We do this because, in the words of the Apostle Paul, "As such as these were some of us." This is the emotion that gives us our drive and our energy. I don't know about you, but like the lame man at the beautiful gate, I was once hurting. I was once addicted. I was once broken. I was once weak. I was once depressed. I was once broken down. But then came along someone who spoke out, someone who reached out, someone who helped me up, and this gospel of pride transformed my life, and I am compelled, wherever and whenever I can, to speak a rise up to others, to reach out my hand, and to help them by lifting them up. This is a surprising gospel of pride. Would you please all say amen?